we'll let James
sit up straight so it doesn't look like he's blowing Patrice under the desk. Then we'll start. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the goings-on in Apple, the big stuff that's happened this week for the largest firm in the whole wide world. Joining me to discuss all of that news, got a great panel. Got Adam coming in a bit if he gets his work emergency sorted out. But starting us off, top left, we've got, this is going to be a challenge, got to try and select Doc with that. There we go. Doc Rock.
How's it going? What do you mean I got to select Doc with that and then some other mumbling and then there we go?
Yeah, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing good.
What's been happening? Where were you last week? You got a note from your mom?
Oh, yeah, I got a note from my mom. Man, this wedding season is kicking my butt. Like, crazy. But I shouldn't complain because, you know, money to spend is always good.
And we're just sitting there thinking you don't love us.
No, I love you guys the most. You're my only friends. Don't forget it.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
Except Patrice. I don't like that guy.
No. talking of which, next to you, he's luscious. Luscious Don McCann. Look at that video.
Don't be so cheeky.
No, it what? Is. That is luscious video.
Good. Oh, hey. Well, I've got some new gear to test out. So it's inaugural. So I've never tried it before. But it seems to be working pretty well. So that's good.
We would have lip sync if it wasn't for the fact I was having to use a VNC to get you into Wirecast. But otherwise, you'd be at full lip sync, mate. It's that good.
Oh, right. Okay. Good. Oh, well, I'll keep it then in that case. Good to see you.
All I'd have to do is start editing. And then I could have lip sync. What have you been up to, mate? We haven't seen you for a few weeks.
Oh, the usual stuff, you know, bit of travelling, lots of work, and of course, keeping up with WWDC and stuff, although I didn't go this year, but lots of stuff came out of that, so that's been interesting. But yeah, no, just the usual stuff, keeping myself busy.
Good man. We've got a bit of XWDDC stuff to talk about, but I don't want to go on about it too much because I think people are getting a bit sick and tired of it now.
Well, it's a week now, isn't it? So
done. Yeah, it's old news.
Ancient history.
Chip paper. Patrice, clear your mouthing, man. How the devil are you?
I'm doing great. Just came in from the office, so it has been really a crazy, stressful week. But other than that, pretty good.
Surely
picked up my new car.
Surely you got a bridging day coming up soon.
No, I've got the bash coming up soon.
Oh, you're on full-born holiday. You're in next week, aren't you?
Yeah, Thursday night I will be in.
What time?
I think the plane should be in Birmingham. It's around 6 p.m.
Oh, all right, that's cool. That's not too bad then. That should just miss the traffic. Awesome. That'd be good, mate. I'm looking forward to it. Should be good.
It will be great.
Yes. If you want to come to the bash, it's not too late to get a ticket. We've got a few left over. We've actually got more people coming than I thought we were going to get, because to start off with, there's a few of the regulars have gone, oh, no, I've got a camping weekend. Oh, no, I've got a dance weekend. I've got a show. I thought, oh, God, here we go, and it's going to be like 10 of us. But it's not. We're back up to pretty much the volume that we had last year.
Nice.
So all those people that have deafed us out, see you next year, eh? but we should have just as much fun. We've got the World Card Cutting Championships, of course, don't forget.
I've been practicing.
We're going to do the draw for that on Tuesday morning. That'll be on live out on Periscope, so you can watch that happening as it happens right here. And it'll be stunning. The breath will be bated. If you want a ticket, you still get one. Even if you want to turn up on the day and just hand over your 20 quid, that's not a problem. But if you are going to do that, send me an email and let me know that's what you're going to do, so that I can make sure I include you in the catering options so that we've got enough food. And we have a new brownie supplier this year, who I'm reliably informed by them, their brownies are awesome. So could be good. Could we have a brownie off next year? That could be it.
Oh, yeah.
Could be awesome. And last but by no means least, sweating it out in the south of France, you lucky bastard. James Rickards, how you doing, bud?
Hey, gang, how are you? I'm doing really well. I've just finished a big project on my YouTube channel where I've filmed a big chateau here in France. So I got to meet Count Rochefoucauld and present that to him. I'll just put the link into the chat room for you. But it was a big project and I was really pleased with it, and actually got a tour of the chateau, inside the chateau. So still reading from that, really. It was just such a great experience to give a little back to the community and show off how beautiful this area is that I'm in.
I was a little bit concerned though when you told me that you had an opportunity to go up to the big house with the carrot and see his private area.
Can't talk about it.
That sounded just a little bit more Rolf Harris than it should have done.
Do you know what? It's one of those things. It was just such a great pleasure to do it. And he's such a lovely guy. And he spoke very good English for a true French fellow. But yeah, had a great time. But yeah, I'll take a look at the video in the chat room. It was a pleasure to do. And wow, once in a lifetime, I think.
I'm sure the pleasure was all his. The smile says it all. As I say, Adam's going to join us if his work kicks in, but we'll have to wait and see. First story then, iMac Pro features may include... I didn't do all the graphics. What a wanker. Oh,
my. No instant alpha, nothing. Look at it.
I've sat here shooting the shit with James and all you lot and trying to fix crunching issue, and I forgot to do all the cool graphics. What? I'll have to edit now.
Well, I'll buy it. Look how beautiful that looks.
There we go. Apple earlier this month unveiled the iMac Pro, a workstation class desktop computer. So they're going to go up to an 18-core Intel processor, top-of-the-line Radeon Pro Vega graphics. We knew that. Up to a 4-terabyte SSD. I don't think that's a new piece of information, but it's new to me. And 128 gigabytes of ECC RAM, the server class server. When I saw the 4-terabyte SSD, when you go and do the max it out machine just because to see the machine you're never going to buy, this could be closing in on a Lamborghini or something like that now.
Not quite, but it will be very, very expensive.
Did someone say 17 grand?
20K or something.
17, the top of the range.
I saw someone said it maxed out by 17 grand.
Anybody who buys this just to surf Facebook needs their head kicking. You've got to be crunching some big numbers here, so... You are looking at the proper professional, but I just wonder whether it's too much too late, really. That's what I'm worried about. A lot of people have already jumped ship waiting on an announcement like this. That's what worries me the most, but we'll see.
Here's the advantage about people jumping ship. For every ship that gets jumped, there's another ship of inmates that come to the wacky farm that is quote-unquote professional production.
I hope so.
You think about it. The dronies have... increase the amount of quote-unquote I do video people by a number that we can't even fathom, and I'm just noticing it in my Facebook feed. The dronies and the Osmoians, or whatever, what else they got, the Karma Mavic, when the ones that you can take off and then throw it on the little stick, and now you have a camera. Before, the thing was GoPro on a selfie stick. I mean, I live in a tourist trap, right? So now, instead of seeing GoPros and a selfie stick, I am seeing coming to their honeymoon with an Osmo, or putting the other DJI one on a not DJI, the other GoPro one on a little stick, and they're walking around full gimbal on their honeymoon. Like, it's crazy. So those guys, everybody I know that bought one, didn't get less enthused after the event they bought it for is over. They get more enthused, and now they're going around hiking. I see cats taking it with them surfing, and then now all these videos are popping up. I got kids popping off YouTube channels on a regular basis, and in my town, I've been known as the YouTube guy for a long time, so I get all of these random emails like, hey, I'm trying to do so-and-so with YouTube. Like, what's the best way to do this and do that? So I'm watching the industry grow. They don't really affect our broadcast level work, but they're out there, and that requires them to buy machines to keep up with this stuff.
Now you're just the YouTube granddad. There we go.
You can call it what you want.
James, just a word of advice, mate. You cut across Don there at the start. You don't want to do that again, otherwise you'll wake up with a horse's head in your bed, mate. Don.
Sorry, Don.
Mate, Don is the Don. You don't cut across the Don, mate. Don, you were about to say something important before James rudely interrupted you.
I just mentioned the price. I think someone's mentioned it was 17 grand when it's fully maxed out. That was all.
That seems a little less.
That's the estimation.
Yeah, but I've never had an iMac. That's one of the very few Macs I've never had an iMac. No, I have had an iMac and then sent it back. I got one of the new 5K ones when they came out. And I actually sent it back, not because there was anything wrong with it, but because I still have my Mac Pro and I couldn't really fit it into, it would have been wasted, really. So I sent that back, and I'm sort of patiently waiting for the next Mac Pro to come out.
Now, there's an interesting thing here, Don, because Deekpan said in the chat room, so there's no thermal dead end to this compared to the trash can Mac. Mm. And I've got to say, I mean, you've got a trash can Mac Pro, haven't you?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I've never, ever had a thermal problem with my trash can Mac. And the first time I ever heard the fans was this week, because it was so hot in the studio. They just really struggled. And I was struggling. But in 2.5 years, I've heard it once. I just don't get this commentary about the thermal.
Well, it's not so much with the current configuration. It's the trap that they can't put any higher, any larger processors in or more powerful processors, and that's the trap. It's designed so that I think the way it's designed is there's a processor and there's two GPUs that make the triangle, and they can't increase the power of the GPUs and sort of distort the thermal configuration of the machine. And in fact, they can't have one side hotter than the other, and there's a limit to how hot it can get. So they've basically painted themselves into a thermal triangle. Apple, so they can't upgrade.
Basically, Apple said it themselves. I think it was in one of the interviews that they had on campus when they talked about the future of the Mac Pro, and also talked about, or at least mentioned that the iMac Pro would be coming. That's what they said, that they had painted themselves in a thermal corner.
I get that.
So this is where this is coming from.
But that's got to be a headroom issue, because I've never had the fans go off. Never.
Yeah.
The fans have clearly run and it's warm. But the first time was this week, and I'm talking, we had 30-degree temperatures outside. I had the fan billowing away in here. I could not. I was melting at the start of this week. And the thing just suddenly went... And that was as loud as it was. It wasn't, you know, taking off. But that's the first time I'd heard the fans ever since I bought it. So it's definitely a headroom issue.
Yeah, it's a future-proof thing.
The 5K iMac and jumping ship, I think a lot of people already have jumped ship from the Mac Pro to the 5K iMac when it came out, because it was the machine with the highest-end GPU and CPU combination. So my question would be more, how big is really the market for the new Mac Pro, given that the iMac Pro is pretty big? And I mean, we talked about this. There is a market. It's just a question, how big is it?
I think they've got to release these. They should have released these together. That's the problem, because no one's going to buy an iMac Pro sitting waiting to think what the new Mac Pro is going to look like. Because I don't need most people go, hang on, I don't need a screen, so I'm going to hang on and see what the Mac Pro looks like, so I'm not going to buy the iMac Pro. And then everyone's going to come out with some bullshit about, oh, it's a failure because it hasn't sold. Well, it hasn't, because they've announced them in the wrong order.
Well, the talk was that the new iMac Pro was actually going to be, you know, the top-end machine, and they've sort of reconsidered, no, we actually do need to have a Mac Pro as well. So it could well be that the iMac Pro was intended to be the pro-level, top-of-the-range Mac you could get. But because of all the, you know, the disquiet and grumblings, etc., they've had to reconsider their position and say, okay, so we do actually need to update the Mac Pro as well. And that's why it's going to take another 18 months, 2 years to get that, because they're starting from scratch. So it's as though that's sort of been thought of as an afterthought. I'm pretty sure that the iMac Pro was going to be the top of the range Mac, and that's not going to be the case now.
Just think, mate, for the amount that's going to, the Mac's machine for that, when the Mac Pro comes, you could buy a yacht and a year's berth in Monaco for the same
money. Yeah.
The only problem that I see with something like, you know, the super stealth bomber iMac and a Mac Pro, when it comes to people talking about the prices, and I guess James kind of alluded to it earlier, a lot of the people that will go in and balk about the price are the guys that want to buy it for their regular computer. I don't know, maybe it's just because I've been around my dad, you know, who, when he's buying tools and stuff for the job, he doesn't blink on the price, because he normally doesn't buy it unless he already has a gig in place that's going to pay for like more than 50% of it. And then, you know, normally working very soon to book another gig right after to cover it. So I was sort of trained that way when it comes to buying equipment. So I'm not going to buy an iMac Pro unless I land, you know, like a $5,000 to $10,000 gig before I purchase it, you know. And so most people in the pro space are work in a similar thing. Doesn't have to be such a high, but they're there. So you're going to get the guys that are just buying it to goof off on their desk. Or, you know, they're kind of like playing around with cameras, taking pictures of, you know, little kids or whatever. And they're not there. They're going to complain it's expensive. But if you're making money, if it's your tool, you don't really care what the cost is, as long as the cost is covered by the work you do.
Yeah, well, even then, there's a limit to it. And there's a function of expandability as well. in what Don does, I'm putting words in your mouth here, mate. As long as you can crunch the level of video that you want plus a year, then that's a high enough machine for you. And there's no point in spending 20K when you can spend 10K. Or there's no point in spending 10K when you can pay 6K.
Yeah, and it's not as though, I mean, if you're in a production house where you're, you know, you've got a team of video editors and you're rendering video 24 hours a day, well, you know, buy the biggest, the fastest machine you can, because you're going to get benefit from it. Whereas a small production house like me, you know, I might encode 1-2 videos in a week, you know, 2 large videos, but we can just leave them running overnight. It's not that big a deal. But it seems like the screens, you know, if you're sitting in front of a screen all the time, you want the best quality screen that you can find. If you want, you know, you do want nice equipment when you're working and you're using it as a tool, you do want the best you can afford. But as far as performance is concerned, it really just depend on the level of work so that you're doing. And if you're a heavy user, then, you know, go for the sheer processing power so that you can power through video encoding and transcoding as quickly as you can. But on a smaller production house, you know, top of the range iMac would be fine for me, probably.
I was happy spending 6K, but I could have bought the 12 core and I could have paid for the 12 core. It would have been fine, but it'd been money that just like, well, hang on, I'm probably never going to get into the power that gives me. Mm-hmm. I'm not for another couple of years, perhaps. So. James, there was an interesting point you made there that you just touched on, but no one really came back on it, and I think you're dead right. I think there are people that have jumped to Windows already and gone away from it because they were sick and tired of there not being a pro option. And at the other fold, I think are people who've jumped away from software. They've gone away from Final Cut and Motion because they've gone to After Effects and Adobe Premiere, because then at least they've got the switchability of being able to flip-flop back between Mac and Windows.
Yeah, like I said, in the field I work in, being cinema 4D graphics and motion graphics especially, you know, we're after every CPU cycle, clock cycle we can get our hands on, you know. So from that point, you know, on my Twitter feed, I've got a whole bunch of guys who were just waiting for that Mac Pro. I know I sort of touched on this 2 weeks ago, really. But the one guy was just devastated. And I said, these guys are in the industry, they're making the plugins for the programs that we love. And if they jump ship to Mac, Windows, sorry, then that leaves us sort of just playing with what's left. But I guess, as I said, there's probably always space for new people to come up, but it's sad to see those guys who've followed Final Cut now for the past, you know, 5-10 years and really contributed to what we use every day. Well, see what I use in Final Cut anyway. Do you know, I'll have to put a link into the one guy's but basically, as he left Mac and to move to Windows, he actually did a whole sort of page about what a transition was like for him, what things he missed from Mac, but how he can sort of compensate it having the Windows computer. It was quite a really interesting read, but I could never see myself doing the same. I really couldn't.
Fair enough. Good discussion, chaps. Good discussion. We shall see what happens when it gets here. I'm quite pleased because the specs for the 27-inch iMac have been tested by Geekbench, haven't they? And there's, I was well pleased to see that the 8-core, which is what I've got, the 8-core Mac Pro late 2013, is still outperforming the new 27-inch Retina iMac. So I was quite chuffed with that. So.
I mean, they are great machines, the Mac Pros, the trash can Mac Pros. I've had mine, you know, I think mine is older than that one, and it just sits there. Collects dust now and again with the air intake at the bottom, so I have to make sure I hoover it every now and again, but it just keeps going, and it pretty much does everything I need from it, really. Just throw whatever you want at it.
Yeah. 21736 was the measure on the Mac Pros 8-core, and the iMac was 18,000, so I'm still got a bit to go. I'm all right. I'm okay. Next year, maybe. Don't tell the wife.
But I mean, that alone is pretty impressive, right? I mean, how old is your Mac Pro now, or the CPU?
My Mac Pro is 3 years old.
3 years old.
Years old in September.
So. Yeah. That's pretty impressive that it lasts really for that long, and it's still faster than everything else, basically.
I bought it saying I want 5 years out of this machine. If it gets me 5 years, then it's 7 grand well spent. I think I've...
But did you expect that it would be for this long, the fastest machine you can get?
From Apple, no.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Of course, it's still the fastest machine I can get, because the iMac Pro is not out. Yes, it's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. I feel much better now. Thanks, Patrice. I felt good already. Who the hell makes a shop with a lid that looks like a MacBook Pro?
Apple.
Oh, mate, that's beautiful.
What?
Beautiful.
You, James, you want to be one of the blokes stood up there with an erection, don't you?
Mate, tell me about it. I saw this today and I went, wow, what a great idea. I'm guessing that white Apple sign will be peeled off to reveal a mirrored Apple sign. As they're not white anymore, are they?
Don't you think
will it tilt up though? That's the problem.
Yeah, that's what I think. Well, they don't light up anymore either, do they? So
they don't light up anymore. They're all just mirrored reflection. So I'm guessing that's just a sticker over there at the moment, which will reveal a really shiny Apple sign, which would be fantastic. I think it looks great.
Can you imagine that if there's someone if the sunlight hits it? And there's a fire starts in the skyscraper next door in Chicago. It's going to be like the walkie-talkie all over again.
The logo of the building behind me tells me that's the Chicago Tribune. Yes. I wish Inako was here because he would know exactly.
I did think, actually, whether that looked like a newspaper. And now you've said that, I'm with you. Mm. I reckon you're right. Mm. Herald and Tribune.
Yeah. It's Sun-Times and Tribune.
Sun-Times and Tribune.
Inako works for Sun-Times, but I think that logo is for the Tribune.
Right, okay.
I mean, I guess we could open up the damn website and look for ourselves. Hold on.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, though the guy couldn't take the picture because he was dazzled by the reflection off the mirrored Apple logo on the store next door. I mean, I just think when the wind gets under that, you're going to see all the inner workings, aren't you? It's going to flip over. You can see that flying into the Chicago Sun-Times building behind, or Chicago
Herald. Yes, that's it. If you go to chicagotribune.com, that is the logo, my friends.
You just see the store manager going over saying, sorry, mate, can we have our roof back, please?
I just wait for the first
blackout.
Oh, Muller's just called it. He says maybe it opens.
Oh, no.
Oh, imagine if that flips up.
Yeah. And yeah, let the light in.
And then there's
Chicago is probably the wrong place for a feature like that.
But yes, it is a windy city. Aye, that's right. Yeah. Good point. Doris did tell me.
Yes, you know, it's funny. Like in the summertime, when they have their random little blackouts, and then someone says, "Did anybody reboot the Apple Store?"
No. That looks like it's right by the river as well. Is it on the banks of the river?
Yeah, that does look like a harbour front there. Yes, good point. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be doubly windy. So now it only lifts off unintentionally, Willa.
I like Deepan's comment in the chat. As there's no MagSafe, if someone trips over the cable, it'll pull the roof off the place.
As a boat goes past, yeah. Excellent.
Does the lid open and there's a touch bar inside?
You've got to love taking the piss out of expensive architecture, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
There's nothing better to do in an afternoon.
Well, you know, in the next Ghostbusters movie, a Stay Puft guy will come over here and pick it up to try to check his email.
Oh, man. Yeah. So much trouble. What would you say if someone told you that the recommended retail price of £589 today only was reduced to £119?
I would call it a sale on normal sneakers and stuff that I buy or fashion.
No, it's a microphone system. I've just had an email. I'm just kind of like, that's awesome. We could do that for the batch.
Yes.
Where's the link? They only sell it at Tesco?
Well, no, I'm not going to put it in because you might buy the last one.
Oh. Not a player, is he? Not a player at all.
No, we haven't got a microphone set for the bash, so I think we might end up buying that.
I recommend the Sony UWPs.
Yeah, no, I've got the UWP system, and they're brilliant. But the problem is, it's got a cutout, hasn't it? A safety volume cutout, so it regularly cuts out anyway. Forestall and 20 sat down and spilled the beans, or didn't, on the production of the iPhone. There we go. He doesn't look well, does he?
Oh, he looks okay. He wears the same shirt. Didn't he used to wear those shirts at the keynotes as well?
He did, yeah.
I think he's into striped shirts.
The exact same shirt.
As everyone, because I haven't watched it, and I'm praying that some of you guys have, because I didn't watch it at all. I got a bit of feedback from Rich Harkness, who said that it was quite entertaining and funny in places, and there were some interesting stories, but he didn't dish any dirt. There was no negative stuff.
Yeah, I saw the first 20 minutes, but I was hoping to watch it to the end, but the first 20 minutes, it was all about his theatre and Broadway and stuff. So I got a bit bored with that, so I'll try and pick up on the rest of it. But from the reports I've read, he apparently did give some insights, but he certainly didn't dish the dirt on anyone. So, I mean, kudos to him, really. He with being sacked, you'd think he might have had a lot of anger and angst building up over 5 years, but from the sounds of it, no, he was perfectly reasonable and he was okay.
Yeah,
there's still time, Don. There's still time. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the Scott Forstall book.
There's got to be some dirt to dish, hasn't there? That's the thing.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, that was the whole his removal was kind of a coup d'etat almost.
Hmm.
Yeah, I do think. I think he was best buddies with Steve, and when Steve went, he was sort of pretty much on his own. And I don't think he actually got on with many of the other senior executives. I think once Steve went, he was always in jeopardy of losing his post there. And with the Maps debacle, I think that was the final push. He needed someone to be sacrificed at the altar of the Maps debacle, and he was the one.
Yeah, you got that, and you had the railway fund. Like just blatant effery, and then the other part that I think kind of pushed him over the top, or he got the blame for, even though it may not have necessarily been his fault, but he was the father of skeuomorphism at Apple. And you know, after Steve's passing, everybody was like, this is our chance not to do that anymore. So I think the skeuomorphism argument, the Swiss railway clock thing, and Maps all sort of happened back to back, and you know, it was kind of, he was an easy person to hang for the situation. I don't know if he was scapegoated or if he was really responsible for any of this stuff. And I guess that's what would come out in the book per se. But yeah, it's just, I guess the timing of it all just seemed like a big quick downward spiral.
I mean, we also don't know whether, I mean, maybe he also wanted to go. Maybe he felt that after Steve was gone that, I mean, he didn't really have a say in what was going on, or didn't feel that this was the right dynamic and within the leadership team. So maybe he simply decided himself, okay, this is not it.
When Steve stopped calling him and then, from the toilet in parties.
Yeah.
You also remember John Broward left at the same time as Scott, and it was like, dude was in charge of retail for like a month and a half, 2 months. I don't know if that had anything to do with it too, because like they really happened on the exact same day.
No, man, we told you about Brett. The minute he was installed, we all said to you, he's Curry's mate. He's Curry's. He hasn't got the first fudging clue what he's doing. What are you doing? And we said that when it was first announced. He hadn't even taken up post.
Yeah, speaking of Apple people who have left, did you read the story that Tony Fadell has left Tesla already after six months, I think?
Oh, right.
The Swift guy, isn't it? Not Fadell, it's the...
No, Tony, pretty sure it was... Or was it Chris Lattner?
Chris Lattner, yeah, that's the guy. He's the software guy, and he went on to the auto team.
Yeah,
that was very surprising, really. Talk about quick turnaround.
And it was announced by Tesla. So he tweeted about it, but Tesla announced it first.
I got to say, I never took to Forstall. When he was I've said this on the Mac show, so I'm not kind of making it up now he's gone. But I did say beforehand when he used to come out in keynotes, it was kind of like, there's something about that bloke.
And we did. Yes. Piercing stare, didn't he?
Well, yeah. He was christened.
Mad eyes.
I think he was christened by Greeny, maybe. I'm going back to when it was Don, me, Kyle and Dr. Happy Mac, and I'm pretty sure Greeny christened him as the child stealer out of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I'm pretty sure that was Greeny. So,
brilliant.
But now people are paying thousands to listen to him talk about shit. Sorry, Scott. I do apologise. AppleCare for Mac will now only be available for 60 days. Previously, you could have used it for up to a year on your Mac if you'd have purchased it, but now it's gone to 60 days, and that's that.
Yeah, on the other hand,
with that.
You're down with that.
On the other hand, you get Apple, you get Apple Care Plus, so makes sense.
So
this is interesting.
Go on, you're down with it, Doc. Start us while you're down.
Okay, because first of all, I used to stand back there and listen to all of the D-bags that would do stuff to their own products and then try to blame us on quality build. And I say us because at the time I was an Apple employee and I was a genius for those who don't know. So it was my job to fix things that people would really do stupid stuff with. And then instead of taking responsibility for they did stupid stuff with it, they would try to, you know, finagle us and get it to fix. The funniest situations in those things were when one of my genius partners, he was this tall, 6 foot blonde haired guy with, you know, curly hair. He spoke fluent Chinese. I speak fluent Japanese and Korean. So, you know, it was always funny when, like, you know, someone would come in and they're laughing to their buddies about what they really did. And they're talking in their native tongue and they think we don't understand. And the Hawaii, you know, genius bars, everybody's cosmetologists, everybody's like multilingual. So we'd all sit there and smile like we're the dumb guy that only understands English. And then after we'd answer back them in their native tongue to what they really did to the device and watch their face like change over. So part of it is the new, it's not really just a specific generation. It's just a new style of trying to blame somebody else for your own responsibility. And I hate the fact that humans have resorted to this. So this is, in a way, to me, it just goes against, I mean, it goes with my thought of you should just learn to be responsible. Like, it's one thing if it's a tech fault or, you know, it was manufacturing fault. Like, those are all understood and normally taken care of under warranty without any blink whatsoever. But when you're out there dehinging your stuff or trying to take things apart because you're trying to tweak something or you just dropped it because you were not, you know, taking care of it, or like people that don't put it in a computer bag and they complain it gets bent up because they keep stuffing it in their purse. Nah, F you. Sorry. I feel strongly about it.
Doc's down with it.
Well, I think anybody in retail, Doc, can that obviously align with you there on that for sure. I'm just wondering where it leaves me, because obviously I bought this Mac 2016. It's the new MacBook Pro with the touch bar, 15-inch. So I obviously bought this in, October it came out, and I've not bought Apple Care yet. So where does it leave me then?
You're probably still good. You would be normally in Apple situations whenever they make trouble on policies like this, there is a grandfathering period. So as soon as we hang up today, I would call and check to see if you still have a chance to get in. And if they say yeah, then just bite.
They're going to say no, because that's Apple now. They've gone to a little bit kind of market trader on that kind of stuff. I had it with me 2-year warranty thing where I got a new logic board and they went, so that's £499 to pay. I'm like, 2-year EU warranty? Okay, so it's all free. There you go. Hang on.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, I've always said, you know, even when I was working at Apple, it's worth its weight in gold. I've always bought it for my iPhone, and with a Mac, I've always had that grace period of the year, so I've never really ever... I change my Mac every year. I always have done. But obviously this year I may keep it for a little bit longer, which means obviously it's worth buying Apple Care for. But I was sold it just under the year, so if I didn't buy it, then I'd give the opportunity for somebody who was going to own it that chance to pick up the Apple Care for it. It's worth its weight in gold for sure.
Okay, so from the Apple site verbatim, a MacBook Pro purchased in October 2016 isn't eligible for Apple Care Plus, but standard Apple Care can still be purchased via Apple support.
Mm-hmm. So I've got to phone him up.
Get on it, mate.
I guess it's going to be 279 still, isn't it? So it's about 279, 15-inch.
Yes.
Yes.
Sounds right.
That'll do. Worth every penny. Peace of mind.
IKEA has released a place your furniture proposals for using Apple's AR kit. This looks amazing. You can see what IKEA furniture is going to look like in your house before you buy it. And there's a thing here that made me think, do you have to pinch and zoom to get it to be the right size? Because, you know, size of furniture is really quite important as to how dominant it is in rooms and things like that. Or is there something going on with spatial detection that will allow you to, and this might be a dual lens thing, that will allow you to estimate the correct size?
As far as I know, it's estimating the correct size. So you can pinch and zoom if you want to zoom in, if you want to get to the details, but the size should always stay the same. That's what at least what Apple has promised with ARKit. So it should actually work. I mean, you've seen it, basically seen it in a demo with this on the table with this virtual game.
Yeah, but
it wouldn't surprise me, Ewan. Obviously, I touched on this last week that the IKEA catalogue was already done in 3D anyway, so every product was already made years ago in 3D, and obviously kept that up to make sure they filmed it, etc. It was all looking good. So it doesn't surprise me they were quick to sort of jump on the bandwagon with this press release on this already. But it wouldn't surprise me if, within the app, it would scan the room first. So it'd actually probably have that little bit more sensitivity where it would scan the room first, so stand in the middle of the room, hold the iPad and move around 360, and it's got a better idea of where it's fitting.
This is how ARKit works. There is a detection phase where it basically detects the surfaces, I mean the table or the room, and where it tries to measure the sizes, and then it's, you can start adding things. So this is how it works actually. And Tim Cook actually in one of the interviews said that they've been working with IKEA on this. So that's why it's not surprising that they showed this off, because they've been working on it for at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the IKEA stuff where you do your build your room type thing that's done in the browser, that's incredibly good. I've used that twice now for our kitchen and our bedroom.
Hard to use, but yeah.
It was okay.
I found it hard to use.
It wasn't that intuitive, I'll grant you, but it wasn't tough. But, I mean, I used that, and the thing that was nice was, because Sharon's can't visualize a room when it's finished. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I don't see that. So, right, hang on, I'll do it. So I laid out all the furniture and then took it out, and then I went in Photoshop and I put the wall coverings on that we were going to have, the tiles, and I put the TV in and things like that when we did the bedroom. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, I like the look of that, we'll buy that. And when I'd done it, and when I got it back, and when we'd installed it, you could stand back with the picture and go, that's it. And it was the picture that I'd made was what was installed in the room. It was absolutely brilliant. So the fact that they're going to do this, they've got a history of doing very good renditions of what your purchase furniture is going to look like. So this is really exciting. And I think that there's been a few videos come out this week on YouTube about some of the stuff that people have pulled with ARKit. Holy shit, it's going to... It just seems game-changing.
Definitely.
There's an entire website. I just can't remember the domain. Maybe the chat room can help. There's an entire website with a curated website with the best examples from YouTube and so on. If you can find that, this is awesome. I mean, there's so much great stuff on there. Maybe the chat room knows.
Do you remember what Dulux did this with the... Well, it wasn't with the ARKit. It did something clever with the camera where you could actually just pick a Dulux paint and tap the wall and it would actually colour it for you. And that was without ARKit, and we thought that was amazing. You're talking about colouring a room already, you know. So with AR, it's going to be that much more better lit. You're going to get a real-world idea of what it's going to look like. And you're right, I think this is just going to blow up massively. And as I spoke about last week, with the Unity engine being free to download, Xcode, you know, you can just download it and have a play. Incredibly easy. The tutorials just get easier to watch as well.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing with Apple is that, I mean, the AR kit's been worked on for years now because they actually bought the technology and they bought the company and that developed the original framework. So they've had a couple of years to sort of finalize it. And now with WWDC, they hand it out to all these developers. I mean, it's only 2 weeks since WWDC. So imagine what's going to be available, you know, in 6 months' time. This is so early on, you know, it beggars belief what they might come up with within even the next 6 months, really. Especially when the new iPhones come out as well, if there's anything within the new iPhones that actually go to help with the sensing, etc. It's going to be, should be phenomenal, really.
What sensors are coming in the, allegedly, this isn't a rumour, Doc, we're just suggesting what would need to be. Is there a suggestion that there's going to be other sensors in there that will help with distance measurement and that kind of stuff? Because there's nothing in the current iPhone 7 to help with the distance measuring.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what technology there is, but
I mean, it seems a logical step. That's what I'm saying. Is if you've got something that's this good at working out local sizes and proportions and light fall and that kind of stuff, there's got to be an opportunity at least to put better sensors in to detect this without an extra cost to the final consumer. And maybe, here's my thought. This is right off the top of my head. we're getting iPhone 7S, but the iPhone 8 that we're talking about potentially getting as well as is one that's going to have augmented stuff for AR only.
Yeah.
Yeah, could actually be.
Hence the fact it's a second, it's a third phone and it's a delayed launch and it's a potential cost.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll be able to do something rudimentary with the camera, because that's already in there with ARKit as well. But I know Scobel's has a lot of information about AR and virtual reality, and he has been talking about specific special sensors that you can actually put into phones. You know, people are they're working on miniaturizing them, but once you do that, that then gives you much more capability of actually you not just augmented but virtual reality on the phone as well. You know, sensing where your boundaries are and working within that boundary, because there's different techniques as well with AR in that you can there's AR whereby you're in a room and you can look around and see around you, but there's also AR where you can walk around objects and objects remain in, you know, in a fixed space. So there's lots of technology behind it, and it's still early days.
I've put the link in the chat room. It's made with arkit.com. I think it was on the loop or something. So this is really a great website.
It's got a few issues with repositioning, hasn't it? It does tend to forget positions if you get quite far away from something. But James, you've just put a link in there from YouTube, which is a Titanic AR demo.
And incredible.
It is unreal. Incredible. The only thing that's bad is the wankers shot it in portrait.
Yeah. I hate that. Oh, my God. And Apple's making it worse with the new updates to the operating system and the phone. I'm like, God, fix it. Don't make it worse. What nobody talks about right now, except for on the Register, which is one of my favorite sites to go read what the IT people on the inside think of all of this crazy stuff. ARKit right now is a humongous drain on the batteries. We found that through Pokemon, if you guys remember. Like, the Anker batteries were out of stock months and months in lead time. When that thing was going crazy for the 2 months that it was crazy, it killed like Anchor's production and you know, a lot of the other guys. Mophi juice packs were unavailable on the island in like 3 different Apple stores. Like, it was just crazy. So for it to become, say, daily driver, they're going to have to do something with that battery life issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. When I was working at Apple, Pokemon Go was at its height, and quite literally you had people coming out of the courts in Birmingham, ripping their wigs off. These like old guys chasing Pokemon down the street. And obviously, working the store, you're absolutely right. We were seeing people come in, quite literally grabbing at the battery cases. I'd never seen anything like it in my whole career working for Apple. People just go, "I need a battery, I need a battery." I thought, "Yeah, you've been playing Pokemon in your dinner break, haven't you, mate? You've ruined it." Insane.
And it's going to only get worse because, you know, like the next 2 or 3 companies hoping to bite on that, you know, that swell, all the copycats are in production right now. There's about 3 or 4 different apps that I know of that are in production that are going this way. And yeah, so, I mean, it's cool. I'm just, I don't know. I still haven't really bit on the AR thing because I was a super early adopter in VR. And I worked, you know, on silicon graphics machines, like trying to make the stuff and wearing the goofy thing where you had to actually stand in the ring in order to get it to work. And I spent a lot of time, effort, and money and didn't recoup any of that cost. So, like, I just stayed so far away. That was a huge waste of time for me as a grown-up kid, IT, because I thought it was going to be the future. And then about 5 years into it, I just said, screw it. I don't want to work with this crap anymore. And then, like, this stuff is happening in the phone. It's kind of crazy to me because I remember all the equipment it used to take for us to do this using Wave Station, a Silicon Graphics Wave Station, the Silicon Graphics Indies. And now people are doing this with an iPad. It's kind of trippy. But yeah, I just, for me, I'm just like, AR, SMAR. Yeah. I'll wait till they can do something that has to do with Manchester United, then I'll be in.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of VR, I mean, the demo they showed on stage was done on an iMac Pro, on an iMac, not on an iMac Pro. So you don't even need the Pro hardware for what they showed.
Well, the funny part is to think about now you can wear a thing on your face and cover it. But bro, I'm talking, I was working in this industry nearly 30 years ago, and we thought it was only 5 or 6 years away. And like, holy crap, now you can go down to your local Buy More and buy a VR headset and stick it on. The funny thing to me, though, still, they don't look much different than they did back when I did it. You figure somebody would come up with some design skills and come up with a better way to...
That's always been my point about VR and AR, is it was always the promised land, but it's been the promised land for 40 years.
That's what I'm trying to say. You say it much better than me.
And then when you look back at how far we've come in cell phones and other technology and stuff like that, you're like, wow. And then you look back and go, look how far we've come in VR. And you're like, okay.
I mean, you'll remember Tomorrow's World. I'm sure we'd seen it on Tomorrow's World back in the day. And you saw the guy sort of with this like 8-bit sword, you know, and he was doing this with it and it was all very jumpy. But we thought it was incredible at the time when we saw it back then. And you're right, that was years ago.
I played the Atari Tank game
with
a VR headset on at a conference back in the 90s.
If you mentioned Tomorrow's World, James, there was a show similar to that here in the U.S. We did see Tomorrow's World in the U.S. It had some chick named Amanda Peel, I think, or something like that. She was there was an Australian show called Tomorrow's World, Beyond Tomorrow. They used to come on Science Channel. And then in the U.S. we had this show, and I completely forget the name of it, but the host was a lady named Soledad O'Brien and this guy Leo Laporte.
And this was
on PBS after Sesame Street, and it's super funny. I'll find the clips or find the name of it, but like literally that was over 25 years ago, and then he got stolen from that to go start the Screensavers before it became ZDTV. That's how long that this whole VR thing has been going on.
Don, you were going to say something and Doc cut across you. He's living, don't you?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, I mean, you got to bear in mind like 10 or 15 years ago, just how much the processing power has improved since, it's just phenomenal how fast processors are now. And the thing with VR and AR is that, you know, it's all based on polygons. I mean, it's the same with gaming. The realism of games these days is phenomenal compared to what it was like 10 years ago. So if you then add in all the AI stuff as well, that's got to be, and all the computational stuff that's got to be laid on top of the graphics. It's no surprise really that the processors haven't really been able to keep up with it. But now, you know, with all the custom silicon that Apple are doing, I mean, the processors in these new iPad Pros are amazing. You know, they're so fast. It's sort of, and miniaturization again, you know, these bulky headsets. They're saying now, I know we've said it in the past, it's within 2 or 3 years, but they really are on the cusp of actually bringing down the components to the size whereby they would fit in normal eyeglasses rather than, great big bulky things. But with the connection, I mean, look at some of these VR, the older VR stuff, and they've got huge cords coming out the back of the thing, you know, which just weigh people down. They've really got to concentrate on portability, miniaturization, and ease of wearing before they'll really take off in the mainstream.
But my problem's always been, it's here's what you can do, and people have had a go at what you can do, but it's never reached a consumer level. That's my point. You know, you look at the stuff that I went on in the 90s, where I'd play in the Atari Tank game with lines, never even polygons, perhaps, and trying to drive behind the mountain and poke out and stuff with some hand controls. And that was brilliantly done. And yes, it had a big headset on it, but no one took that to a commercial level ever. And that's the thing, is we've always been shown and promised VR, but it's never reached a commercial level properly. And this is the first time in history, really, it probably has. And then even look at, Oculus Rift pissed around for Christ knows how long.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yep.
Now, and the spec of the machines you needed for that as well.
Sort of high-end sort of film trying to show us what it could be like. Rubbish.
God, that was a shit film.
It was awful, wasn't it?
The Lawnmower Man.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Lawnmower Man, that was the VR Jessica,
no, was it Moritz?
God.
Jessica Moritz? No, Jessica.
Oh, tell him. Yeah, the chat room. Get typed in.
In the 90s, there were a couple of VR-type movies I remember. So.
Yeah.
I remember going to see Lawnmower Man with a lot of inspiration because it was talking about an industry that I was in and I loved, and I thought it was going to be, it's kind of crazy. That was 1992, man. Holy goodness.
Oh, God. Was it
1992?
Jeez.
Jenny Wright?
Jeff Fahey, that was him.
Yeah.
God, that was...
Pierce Bronson. Anyway, the show that I was talking about was called The No Zone, and it was on, like, PBS, and it's from, like, 1995.
Right.
It's crazy, right? So that just goes to show you how long we have been fighting this fight. And that's why I'm with you, and I'm like, yeah.
It's the passage of time struck me this week. I was watching a program. I'm trying to get Bryony into physics and stuff like that, because she's really bright with it all. And I've tried to get her to watch Cosmos with me, the Neil deGrasse Tyson one. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about Edmund Halley and the fact that actually Edmund Halley contributed so much to science. And the only thing he didn't contribute was that he didn't discover Halley's Comet, which he got named after. All he did was look back through contemporaneous records, and he predicted when it was going to come round. And because he actually got it right, they called it Halley's Comet afterwards. And I said, but it's not going to come round again in my lifetime. I said, I saw it when it came round last in 1986. I remember sitting watching it. And there was one called Hale-Bopp, which only comes round every 4,000 years. Mm-hmm. So none of us are going to see that again. And Sharon said, well, you might, if you look after yourself. And I'm like, no, surely not. And she went, yeah, don't forget 1986 was 41 years ago. It's like, and it's 31, but I mean, Jesus.
It's Christ, 31. So. I'm not 40.
No. Oh, the best bit was I was doing potential.
Stop rubbing it in, Patrice.
We got Physics for Dummies for me and Bird, and we're sitting reading through it together every night. We just do a little bit. And last night we did potential energy and kinetic energy. And she went and explained it to her mum as potential energy and cosmetic energy.
Well, that is so awesome. Oh my God, that is awesome.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, do you want to win a Spider? Spider 5 Express Color Calibrator for your Mac. That's dead easy. We've got a few of these to give away, and the first one, you've got 7 days left. So at the Bash next week, we will announce the winner of the first Spider 5 Express that you can have. It's absolutely brilliant. It's a Dace Color device that is just awesome. I've got one of these, and I do my screens with it, and it is absolutely essential if you're even remotely serious about your video or photography. Calibrates your screen perfectly. You can do multiple monitors with the Express as well. And they will be identical afterwards. There's none of this stuff mm-hmm. that you get with some of the other ones where they look like you've got two completely different monitors. Well worth it. It's over, I think it's just about £100 worth of equipment here. And the thing that's nice is if you say, well, actually, it hasn't got this feature, and I'd love the feature that's on the Elite or the Pro, doesn't matter. You get this one device, and the one device then is upgradable by upgrading the software on your computer. So all you have to do is pay extra for the software. And the Spider 5 awesome. Express that you've already got, effectively you don't get a Spider 5 Express. You get a Spider 5, and then you get the Express software. And if you want to upgrade to the Pro software or the Elite software, you can. Dead simple. So there you go. All you've got to do is answer a simple question and tell me what are the three primary colours on your monitor. There we go. The three primary colours on your monitor. Anyone that wants to get... that wants to get smart about S and Adobe and that kind of stuff, forget it. It's not the answer. Or just give me the three primary colors on your monitor.
Sour, hot, and salty?
Well done, mate. That's the one. And talking of photography, if you're into your fantasy photo league stuff, we're still running that. We had an extra couple of people join last month. We're up to 35 people playing now for a DSLR. And one of the guys today said, "I didn't know there was a prize." Yes, you get a DSLR from me. If you win, I'm going to give one away at the end of the year. You can win this competition if you really want. Lots of people have put in lots of photos. Lots of votes have been cast because you get to vote on everyone else's images and look at your own. And then there's comments that come back. I've posted the comments today on how to improve your image and where to go with it. And everyone has improved vastly. It is incredible the standard change from January to this month. This month's topic is simple. It's light, L-I-G-H-T. And all you've got to do is send me an image with light in it to britishjetnetwork@gmail.com. And I will enter you. Simple as that. It'd be a good idea if you joined the Slack room and joined in the photo room, because it makes it easy to share the document with you and stuff like that. But that's it. Come and join in the Fantasy Photo League and you might win a DSLR. And you can't... everyone's going, oh, but Ian Lewis is doing really well at the moment. Ian can't win. He's not allowed to, because he's already had a DSLR off me. So he's not getting another. So he's not in the competition. Get going. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2, even the big show, you see. If you want to support them, they've renewed our domains this week again, and they are going to keep with us for as long as they possibly can. and we love them. We've got some new banners to put up on the site as well, and they're really pushing their SSD virtual server. If you'd like to have a look at that, go in and go through britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and check out the new SSD VPSs that they've got, because they are rather good by all accounts. Well worth looking at. And if you can also just sign into your account, then use our link, because we get kudos for you as a returning customer. And it's countdown is on. Mark's back from holiday this week. I'm getting my eyes checked again on Monday so that I can go and get my glasses made at Wrexham. My Uniku glasses will be printed for just my face. They are unique to me in the next few weeks. And you'll see me wearing them here on the Mac Show in the next couple of weeks. We might also be moving as well. We'll be getting a new studio. So,
nice.
Yeah, new studio space. Might have a mess around then. Be awesome. Cool. Have we got any cool things, boys? Start us off. Doc.
Yes, my cool thing, and I will post the link to you. My cool thing is a Lexar SL100 portable SSD. Now, there are a plethora of portable SSDs on the market, but one of the things that makes this guy pretty wicked is that it comes with a USB-C cable and a USB-C connector, aka it's fast as all get. When this thing is plugged in to a qualifying Mac, it's pushing near 500 symmetrical read-write speeds. It's like 550 on transfers and like 4-something on writes, really depending on your computer. But it's blazing fast and cheap. 500 gig portable SSD. I got it on sale for $125. I see the current price is like $150, but this thing is amazing. And what's kind of funny is the original purchase was I was helping out a client that has a iMac that has a bad hard drive in it. And I was like, well, rather than cracking it open and never getting it to seal right again, because it's such a pain in the butt to put them back together, let's just run your OS off of an SSD off the back. So we went hunting for the fastest USB 3 one. And then I found there's only a handful out there that is USB 3.1. And that's the Lexar and the Samsung. And I thought it was a good, you know, way to purchase that. It's only a little bit more because if you go to replace the computer, you might as well, you know, sort of future-proof it by buying a 3.1. And it comes with the USB-C to standard cable or the double USB-C cable. But anyway, it's ridiculously fast, small, and cheap, 500 gig SSD.
Excellent. $149, so...
Yeah, it goes on sale all the time. I caught it for $125, so I mean, yeah, if you catch it on sale, don't even blink about it. Just stick it in your Amazon cart. And I'm mad at Dawn for costing me $500 because I got to buy a Blackmagic presenter. I caught the tail end of that conversation while I was setting up, and then already I'm like moving funds around. You suck.
I've hovered twice over the buy button during the show.
Oh my god,
it's great because I could stick the FS5 on it then.
Hey, who invited that guy?
Sorry. I haven't even given my pick yet.
I hope you don't pick it again because I'm about to buy two.
Oh man, cool. Thank you, mate. Good pick. Don, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I was actually going to do the web presenter thing because I'd forgotten that we do cool thingy. So I was only going to just throw it out there. But we had the discussion before we went on air about this new gizmo that I went to NAB in Las Vegas earlier on in the year. And they had this great thing. Blackmagic's a fantastic company who do all sorts of high-end video gear. And whenever I've done video podcasts, I've always used a little webcam, which has been fine, but you know, it has limitations. I've got some nice cameras, some DSLR, they're actually not true DSLRs, but you know, decent Panasonic cameras. And I've always wanted to use those to have to produce my web video with. So Blackmagic could produce this new box called the Web Presenter. It's about 400-450 quid, but basically it takes sort of any high-end video signal and then down samples it to 720p, and then you can just use the USB connection to connect it to any Mac or any PC, and it takes your lovely high-quality video output and enables it into an optimal streaming format. So I set it up today, and it's the first time I've used it, and everyone seems to be raving about it. So that's my pick for this time. I seem to have got a few people interested in it, but it's the Blackmagic Web Presenter.
Your video's beautiful, mate. It really
It does actually look 720. It looks better.
Yeah. It's got, I'm using the Panasonic GH5, and I've got shallow depth of field as well, and I haven't had to do any tweaking or anything. I've just plugged it straight in. It takes HDMI. The Panasonic has an HDMI out, but it'll also take SDI in, and it will take a microphone as well, although I'm using just my standard microphone setup. You can plug an XLR microphone into the back of the web presenter and use that to downsample to do your web stream. And the idea is that you can use it for Facebook, you can use it for podcasts, you can use it for anything where you need streaming video.
Presumably then you could use that to convert into just copying straight into QuickTime as well.
Did that today for the first time. Yeah, I had to record an iPad because I was doing some live video on the iPad and I couldn't capture it using my usual screen flow. So I just set up the camera and captured the video straight into screen flow from my decent camera. So that worked very well.
That is insane.
You wonderful person.
Did you get the 10RX screen?
I did, but to be honest, I haven't really need to use it. It's nice that's like an optional extra, which I think is about an extra 70 quid. It has a small video display and some buttons, so if you've got multiple video inputs, you can switch between them. But it also has a little monitor built into the screen, so you can actually see the output, and you can see what source is coming in, what the video format is coming in, and what the frames per second going out is. And there's an audio monitor as well, so you can monitor your audio. It's a nice to have, but I don't think it's if you're going to spend 450 quid on the box, you might as well spend the extra 70 quid and get the panel.
See, that thinking right there, it gets me in trouble every time. Damn you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, just spend the 10.
Sorry.
Good pick, mate. Good pick. You're good. Patrice, your cool thing.
Okay, my cool thing is an app. I just got this week the new iPad Pro, but the iPad Pro is not the pick, it's an app for it. I mean, with the iPad Pro, especially with the big one, I want to do quite some writing and some sketching. So my pick is a Notes app. It's Notes Plus. It's, I think, $9.99. Oh, yeah, you're showing it. $9.99 in the UK, probably also in the US. And it's a really, really, really great app. I've owned it for years and years and years. I bought it when it first came out. It's really easy to use. It's powerful. I mean, you can basically do everything. It has a really, you can see it in the screenshots. It has a really great introduction screen where you get a note, you get a notebook, and in the notebook you can do the things that they're telling you to do. So it's a real notebook. You can you can write on it, you can erase things and so on. You're really doing a hands-on experience here with this tutorial. And as I said, it's not that expensive, actually. I mean, 10 bucks is, well, given that the iPad is like $1,000, that's nothing, really. And it's great. I've been using it for years.
I love this application. It's absolutely brilliant. I bought it when I first got the iPad Pro, and it's stunning. The only thing I noticed is it's £5 more expensive than what I paid for it.
Yeah, same here.
Why?
But that's still worth it.
Oh, it is still worth it, but there's a bit of thieving bastards in me because I don't think it's doing any more than what I've already got. So I paid $4.99, and it's now $9.99.
Well, now that the Apple Pencil's here, there's probably a bigger market, so he's decided to put his prices up.
Yeah, thieving bastard. I'm sorry. we've had a review. Thank you to those people that do bother to leave reviews, and they are summarising the previous 10 years of podcasting rather than just one episode where I pissed them off. This one's from Jones, and he says, Great show. Love it. Long time listener. Thanks for everything you do, Gary. Cheers, matey. Do appreciate the kind thought. And Tom VF wrote, a great listener if you're an Apple fan. Guests are knowledgeable with some good humour mixed in. Some good humour mixed in. Not all. Cheers, Tom, for putting that in as well. If you've got a review, then please leave it in iTunes. It makes a world of difference to our rankings. And we like read them out. It's cool. Whether good or bad, we still read out the negative ones. We don't read out all of the good ones and nothing else. Good pick, Patrice. Like that one. Like that one a lot. It's all pinging off around me. Do apologise. James, what's your cool thing?
Thank you, Ruben. This week, just two apps, if you don't mind. It's just two. Obviously, it goes without saying, Affinity Photo for iPad is just brilliant. What can I say? If you're used to using Photoshop, then they did some demos on stage at the keynote, and it's just fabulous. At the moment, it's £20, and that's with 30% off, so they've got like a good deal on it at the moment. So if you're not having a look, jump on Affinity Photo by Serif Labs. It's just incredible. And also, obviously, France is extremely flat, which means I can't make any excuses for not losing any weight while I'm over here. So I'm using something called a Couch to 5K, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. They do a free version, but I'd suggest going for the Pro one. It's $4.99. And it's great because it works for your Apple Watch. And all you do is it's going to take you, if you've never run before, to 5K in about 8 weeks. It's just brilliant. The prompts are great. It's just great fun, what can I say? And it works so well with the Apple Watch, the way it updates you to... And basically, the situation is you kind of walk for 5 minutes, warm up. You do a run for 1 minute, which isn't nothing. And then you drop down to a walk for 1.5 minutes. And then slowly, obviously, as the weeks go on, it'll obviously update you to obviously run faster, have fewer breaks in between the walk and run cycle. But it's so eloquently done at £5. It's a steal.
Excellent, mate.
No problem at all.
Good one. I've got a pick of the week, or a cool thing, and I've got a pass of the week as well. So the cool thing I'd like to say is, well done to Sky Sports for their Go application, Sky Go. If you've got Sky Go, you know you're only allowed to take one application, one device out and one device in each month. And you've got to take a device out and then wait a month before you can put a device in, which is just stupid as far as I'm concerned. And it is really, really horrifically, stupidly restrictive. I got a new iPhone the other week, if you remember, because mine crapped out on the camera. So my device was automatically deselected. But I rang him up, told him the story, and said, this has happened. What do I need to do? And he said, that's all right. Tell us which device number it was. It was device number 3. Okay, delete that now. Yes, fine. Hang on a second. Okay, now reinstall it and put it back on. And it worked straight away. And they did that. And they did the MacBook Pro as well. I said, I haven't not used my MacBook Pro, but it just stopped working. I wanted to watch the lines on it. I said, yeah, no, that's fine. And they did the same thing. So well done to them for product support on a really draconian application. And here's how, this is my pass of the week, this is how draconian it is, right? They've got now, you can't watch it in the web browser, you've got to download a desktop presenter app that's in there. And then the desktop presenter app stops you from relaying it anywhere else. So you can't plug in a Bluetooth device and send the audio to the Bluetooth device. The app won't let you. So you can't get better sound quality. You've got to use the speaker that's in the computer. But that's kind of stupid. Because what they haven't thought about, in fact, is all you got to do is put an analog cable into the earphones and it works anyway. So,
yes.
Morons. And they've probably spent an awful lot of time coding that and not realising it. And the other thing is, they've spent a lot of time coding it so that you can't use the HDMI to reflect the monitor out. So you can't use a second monitor and show all your mates in the pub. Except all you've got to do is turn mirroring on and you can.
Oh, yes.
Have you just told them the secret sauce then?
Bravo, brilliant. Sky. No, they're listening to this shit. Bravo, Sky. Bravo.
Oh, it's funny, but a lot of companies do stuff like that, and they think about stuff like that, and I'm like, it's so lame, and it's not so much, helpful.
It's really a waste of time. You make the experience worse for the people who are paying you and the people who want to steal your stuff. Just do it.
If you've got a pub who wants to use Sky Sports on the cheat through the Sky Go application, they can, because all they've got to do is buy a box, and that automatically requires a TV attached to it, otherwise it doesn't play anything, and you've also automatically got to have a line out from the audio card. Otherwise, if we get rid of analog audio, then fair enough, it's going to be a bit harder, but I just thought that you've gone to a lot of trouble to make this shit, and it still doesn't stop it. What are you on? There's a lot that they do that's nice, but there's a lot that they do. I just think you're idiots. You're absolute idiots. And I said to, they came to the London Mac User Group a few years ago, and I said, when are you going to get mirroring out of the iPad for your device? He went, and in unison they all went, never.
Yeah.
Insane.
Not getting it.
Not getting it. Right. Where can we get a hold of you? I feel like I've forgotten something, but go ahead.
Did James do his pick?
It was that memorable.
To be fair, he didn't put a link in the chat room, which is why you're saying that. It was Affinity Photo and another one.
Oh, no, that's right. Okay.
No, but you didn't put a link, is what I'm saying. You put the name, but...
Yeah, for some reason it won't let me link it. I don't know why.
Being
rubbish.
It's really funny that you brought that up today, though, James. My dad came yesterday and was like, oh, you should buy Affinity Photo. And I'm like, I got Mac Fun stuff. I'm lazy to learn another app.
They do free keyboard overlay that you can print out and drop it onto your keyboard. It's pretty cool.
The one thing that I've heard about Affinity Photo is it's not easy to just pick up and get into. You've got to, if you want to do some of the cool stuff, you've really got to get your thinking hat on and scratch the cat.
Well, download the guide. Print it from the website and it will go over your keyboard and it'll help you out. It's pretty good if you're using the Mac version.
Obviously. It's akin to learning the deeper elements of Photoshop and a lot more, so. But it is recommended.
It's funny this guy thinks we read manuals.
We're men. What are the... James,
keyboard overlay.
James.
Man, oh, Francis is getting to you, bro.
James, turn in your man card at the end of the show.
Look, I've got a manual for my air conditioning unit. Look at that. There it is.
Have you read it?
No.
Have you read it?
I've read the first four pages and I've put it on.
How many pages are there in English?
Mate, nine.
You wanker.
So I managed to read four of them.
You've read half the manual, you wanker.
Hey, you're 43% in, bro.
Some people like to read manuals. Look, I even the EE guide as well to see how energy efficient it is.
Have you read that?
Gay.
No. Oh God!
You're going to stand up and be wearing a dress, aren't you?
I tell you what, are we going to edit this bit out?
No, of course I'm not.
No, I got a plastic bin over here with manuals for everything I've bought in the last 20 years, and every single one of them is still in the plastic they came with.
Yes. I just want to show you where my manuals are. All right, we got
in the bin.
Jake and Muller here. Just there you go.
Hey boys,
there's my manuals. They're all in the cooker.
Yeah. Yeah.
All in the oven. All in the oven I've never used.
Nice.
No, that's good because like in a zombie apocalypse, you're going to need some Kindle. And I don't mean to read. I mean to start a fire so, you know, you can boil water and whatnot. You good, bro. You got your Kindle right on hand.
Thanks, man. Cool.
That's not true.
Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
Besides laughing at James, you can find me on the internet at DOCROCK all over the place. And also don't forget to check out my new podcast, Solid Podcast by Doc Rock. And that's at solid.podbean.com. I got my new domain, Solid FM, but Micronesia takes forever to propagate. So we'll see. It's coming.
Okay. Well done. Don, where are you, sir?
You can find me over at screencastonline.com where you get all my weekly video tutorials. If you want to get the mag, there's a Screencast Online monthly mag on the App Store. And there is also, if you're not a member, the SEO Showcase app where you can get some free stuff and purchase individual tutorials. But screencastonline.com is the main hub. You can find me on Twitter as Don McAllister.
If you've got a mag and you're not a subscriber to Screencast Online, you're an idiot. You're a manual reader.
Yeah, with the alternative to manuals, that's right.
Patrice, where are you, mate?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show, in about a week in Birmingham as well. Everything I do on the patrice.com, and I think on Wednesday we will do a special episode of the Tech Hangout. So if you're If you're interested, go to thetechhangout.com.
Excellent, mate. Curry will be the first agenda next week. It'll be about, well, we're doing a Mac show here at 4, and then it'll be over the Curry House for about 4 to 6, 6 o'clock. And then that's when the night starts, and then back to mine, and then the following day, and then the day after, and then Sunday, and oh, it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Always good fun. James, you getting on a plane? You going to come over?
Oh, mate, no. Got visitors coming over, so you can tell your friends you've got a house in France, what they're going to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Got a house in France. I might just come over. So I'm fully booked, mate. I don't think I'm going to see an empty room in my house till October.
Oh,
but there you go. Anyway, you can find me at did people still say www.whiskeywithwater, renderbots.co.uk. If you go to YouTube, you can search renderbots and see all my drone stuff. There's lots of great stuff to see there, so do that. And obviously, follow me on Twitter. It's at renderbots, but bots with a Z at the end, because Twitter's rubbish.
We need Wasps to play one of your local teams at rugby, and then me and Muller can come down and have a game.
Watch the game. You're certainly very welcome.
We'll buy you a ticket. Don't worry, mate. It's fine. Get cheap tickets through Wasp.
There you go.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow us at British Tech as well. Don't forget the news show is every day with Carl Swagger. You can get that through him. And you can also donate to us through Patreon if you'd like to support us, or direct to bageltechnews@gmail.com in the PayPal account to outstanding order, which a lot of people have done. And we do appreciate it. There will be a Mac show next week. Yes, there will be a Mac show at 4 o'clock as normal. There will be a Mac show here. But the place will be littered with window lickers. They'll all be here watching it go on. So we'll have a webcam up, and it'll be loads of fun. And then as soon as we finish that, the partying starts. Have a great weekend, and come to the Bash. You'll love it. Thanks for listening.
Dude, I kind of paid money to see you and Muller in a dinghy trying to cross the English Channel to go see James. And you can live stream it with the bots that Don made us buy, and then a Teradek Wi-Fi or Teradek LTE transmitter.
We're going to put it on PPS, mate. Paper stroke.
Dude, it'll be awesome.
You pay enough, we'll do it.
Bro, no, it's a fundraiser, bro. We're going to raise money for little, underprivileged kids like Patrice. We can raise money for that cost. So we're going to have you guys sat in a dinghy. We'll set up the webcam. As you guys make it across the channel, we'll live stream the whole thing on YouTube. And then, like, we'll color commentate and have people, like, hit the PayPal link during the thing. And every time one of you guys swears, like, somebody got to pay, like, $10, like, we can make a lot of money, dude.
We'll make a lot of money watching a fat bloke row across the channel, mate.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Wait, which one of you guys are fat?
Both. I think
we both. Hey, you guys better take Jake in case you need some tech support.
Does it need a giant boat
then? There's actually a seafaring shanty for this. Rubber dub dub. If I'm not doing that.
Oh, gosh, it's too much.
The last what a thing, show. The last what a thing show. I'm going to be doing is sitting in a boat pulling off Muller. Pulling with Muller, sorry, that's not what I meant.
Wait, I was going to say, that's a different live stream, cuz. Oh, God.
I just want to point out that Freudian slip was deliberate.
Oh, God.
I can't get over that bloke who's done that Titanic rendition.
I know, it's brilliant.
And the wanker's done it in port. I was so f***ing upset.
Probably because he wants to fit the height of the funnels in, Ewan.
Stand further back.
Well, you're right, it could stand further back, but then maybe there might be some trees in the way, which is the old, the whole thing, but there you go.
Oh, Deep Pan's putting it, me and Muller be Captain Pugwash and Roger the Cabin Boy. The worrying part is I'm still recording, shit.
Stop the clock.
That's always recording. Remember that.
Oh, that's on the server.
No worries. You can edit.